This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, April 23rd. I'm Patricia Naft. The Denver Post reports that a bill to review the state's mineral severance tax, which captures revenues from Colorado's gas and oil industry, is slated for legislative committee vote today. Senate Bill 198 would create a mineral extraction study group to review the way tax revenues are raised and distributed. In 2013, the severance tax raised $175 million, with 93% coming from the oil and gas industry. Last year, companies produced 64 million barrels, breaking a 60-year-old record. But Colorado has the lowest effective severance tax rate in the West at 1.5%, according to a Legislative Council analysis. Other Western states range from 3.9% to a high of 10.6% in North Dakota. Colorado Counties Incorporated, or CCI, which represents the state's counties, opposes the bill. Half of the severance money is distributed to counties impacted by oil and gas development. The commissioners felt that every time there is a discussion, we lose quite a bit, the group's policy supervisor told the Post. Colorado Petroleum Association President Stan Dempsey said the study group is not needed. We have a legislative working group back in 2007, and the system put in place works, and not much has changed, he said. But Hodge said that since then, the state's shale oil boom in Weld County and surrounding areas has made a dramatic change. Drilling has come closer to homes and communities, she said. One reason the rates are so low in Colorado is that operators are able to take most of their property taxes as a credit against the state tax. The bulk of the severance tax goes to funding state and local activities related to oil and gas. The bill comes before the Senate Natural Resource and Energy Committee, which is chaired by Senator Gail Schwartz, Democrat Snowmass, who is also a co-sponsor of the legislation. And in a related story, a measure to increase fines against oil and gas operators for violations cleared the State House Monday with bipartisan support. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Currently, when oil and gas companies have a violation, the state fines them $1,000 a day, which is capped at $10,000.
The fine structure that we have now was put into place during the Eisenhower presidency, so we need to update it to take into consideration the drilling that we have in our state now.
That's Democratic Representative Mike Foote of Lafayette. He's sponsoring House Bill 1356. It would increase penalties to $15,000 each day per violation, and there would be no cap.
In some areas, is a low amount of public confidence in what the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission does, and I think this will help that. I also think it will help incentivize good behavior by operators and penalize bad behavior in appropriate ways.
Last year, a similar measure passed the House but failed in the Senate. The oil and gas industry opposed it because it had a mandatory minimum fine for the most serious cases. That provision was stripped from this year's bill, which has the backing of the Oil and Gas Association. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel reports that if Interior Secretary Sally Jewell opts to list the Gunnison sage grouse as endangered, she will, quote, get sued by Colorado. John Swartout, appointed by Governor John Hickenlooper to manage the state dealings with grouse, says Colorado can win the case. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed the Gunnison sage grouse for listing under the Endangered Species Act and is to decide on the bird's status and to designate areas of critical habitat for the species by May 12th. Swartout said the state's hand is strengthened by decades of work with that bird that shows efforts among 11 Colorado counties over more than two decades are having a positive effect. State agencies, ranchers, and county governments have been involved in saving the bird. I've never seen that kind of unanimous sentiment among the state's wildlife experts who have dealt with the Gunnison sage grouse, Swartout said. There are about 5,000 known Gunnison sage grouse, with the largest concentration, about 4,000 birds, here in Colorado's Gunnison Basin. The Gunnison sage grouse, which is slightly smaller than its cousin, the greater sage grouse, was recognized as a distinct species in 2000. A measure to cut down on people being put behind bars for failing to pay court fines initially passed the Senate yesterday. Lawmakers in both parties say the current system is unjust. Benta Berkland has more.
Under House Bill 1061, poor people who can't afford to pay fines for non-criminal offenses, such as traffic violations and pet licensing, won't be sentenced to jail or prison. Democratic Senator Michael Johnston of Denver says it's a human rights violation for someone who doesn't have the ability to pay.
We had a young man testify who owed a $70 fine and got sentenced to 10 days in prison for that fine. You can do the math pretty quickly on what the daily rate charge is for prison in this state or even for a county jail. But literally, we paid more in state dollars to put him in jail for 10 days than he owed us.
Republican Senator Owen Hill of Colorado Springs also supports the bill and says the integrity of the judicial system is at stake.
One out of 100 U.S. citizens is in jail, and colleagues, this is inappropriate for us as a society, right? We've argued against these excessive court fines. We've argued against using fees. We've argued against using the judicial system to nickel and dime people to death.
The measure still needs a final vote in the Senate. It passed the House unanimously. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Sentinel reports that a Garfield County victim of hantavirus is stable and recovering nicely, according to County Public Health Director Yvonne Long. The incident is serving as a reminder to take precautions against the mouse-transmitted disease, especially as people take on spring cleaning and home improvement projects. Hantavirus is found in deer mice saliva, urine, and droppings and can become airborne and be breathed in by people if contaminated dirt and dust are stirred up, according to a news release from the county. Long said it's important when working in areas of potential exposure to wear gloves and a mask, and when cleaning up mouse droppings to first spray it with a mix of bleach and water and let it soak. Just use those precautions and you're going to cut your risk down tremendously, she said. Garfield also had a hantavirus case in 2012, and that victim survived. However, more than a third of all victims die from the disease. There's no vaccine, cure, or specific treatment for hantavirus, but those who seek prompt medical treatment have a better chance of recovery, the Garfield Health Department says. It says early symptoms include muscle aches, fatigue, high fever, dizziness, headaches, chills, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. Later symptoms include coughing and difficulty breathing. However, sinus congestion, sneezing, and a runny nose and a cough that produces phlegm aren't hantavirus related. And that's the regional news for Wednesday, April 23rd. Stay tuned for the Wednesday morning music mix with P. Gibby. For KVNF, I'm Patricia Naft.